We have a quorum present, and we'd like to call the meeting to order. There's a, if you could, stand for the Pledge of Allegiance and a moment of silent prayer.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
If you remain standing for a moment of silence. The first item is to approve the agenda. Are there motion Rowe or was it motion Peterson?
Second
Newman. Discussion? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. We have the consent agenda, which is the minutes of the December 2nd regular meeting, statements and checks, and the treasurer's report. Motion Peterson.
Support.
Support Eldridge. Questions or comments? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Number five is a general legal update. Mr. Winters.
Madam Chairperson, I know this is the last meeting of this calendar year, and I normally short my attorney report down to 2 hours on the last meeting, so it'll be shorter. No one's laughing down there, I see. On a serious note, I just want to take a moment and thank this township board for a great year of service. And I certainly appreciate working and getting to know all of you throughout this course of the year. At the same time, I also would like to at least take a moment and just reflect that during the last 40-some-odd years that we have been at the Township's General Council, that I've worked with five different supervisors, six different township clerks, three township treasurers, and dozens of trustees. But every board during those 40-plus years, they have to come to terms with what they as a board, they have to come to their own identity as a board as to what does this board going to stand for in the term of office that you're currently holding. And I will say that the one common denominator that I have seen over the last 40-some years is that all those township boards all have one thing in common. And that one common denominator was to always do what was best for Plain Township. And sometimes doing what is best for the township may find yourself at odds with the Washtenaw County Board of Commissioners, with the people, the powers that be in Lansing, many times even in Washington, D.C., and sometimes even some of our finest institutions. But all of us stand on the shoulders of those who've gone before us. It's always important, I guess, at this time of year to know that we you have a legacy to fulfill as well as your own identity to shape. And I would also like to at least acknowledge all the department heads and all the administrators at the township level that have been very helpful during this past year. We've had a lot of number of challenges going from the number of fires we've had. Can't recall a year that we've had more fires. And police challenges in regards to trying to make sure that we have a safe community. But in regards to the latest update, I do want to take a moment and at least highlight some of the happenings that have occurred since our last board meeting on December 2nd. At the December 2nd board meeting, the Township Board passed Resolution 25-42. It was a resolution requesting that the state of Michigan, through the MEDC and other agencies, cancel, revoke, claw back $100 million that was awarded to the University of Michigan for the construction of two computational centers, i.e. data centers, that a year ago were supposed to be built on the corner of Bridge and Textile Road on a 20-acre piece of property. Unbeknownst to the township, when that application was submitted to the MEDC, University of Michigan said, wait, we have the support of SPARC, not the township, we have the support of SPARC. And based upon the fact that it was going to be 20 acres and we had the support of SPARC as opposed to the township board, who are the duly elected representatives, for reasons that will probably never be known, at least to most of us, MEDC felt it was in the interest of this state to award U of M a $100 million corporate welfare check, in spite of the fact that you're now seeing hundreds of thousands of Michigan residents go without Medicaid and losing their SNAP benefits. Not to mention that the University of Michigan, I was wrong on the endowment, it's not $20 billion, it's $21.6 billion. And that's a billion with a B. And also, they are about the third wealthiest university in this country. But even then, that wasn't enough to still put out their hands and say, can you give us $100 million? And the MED said, okay. Now, after that, of course, you know what happened. They then quickly moved to purchase an additional 124 acres separated only by the only means of access into the township, South Hydro Park. And so, in spite of the fact that the township brought to their attention, there was a better place to go, that being the American Center for Mobility, which ironically continues to be noted on many TV programs as being the so-called arsenal of democracy, where Henry Ford built the bomber plant, had over 40,000 workers, produced a B-24 bomber at the rate of one per hour, even though that property was prime, ready for redevelopment, and this is where the next wave of development should go to truly protect the national interests. They have steadfastly refused to go. Won't even allow us to sit down and participate in those conversations in a way that would be meaningful and, in my opinion, very helpful to find that pathway to allow them to achieve that purpose of going ahead and locating on that property that's been cleaned up. And keep in mind, that property was part of the General Motors bankruptcy, and hundreds of millions of dollars went into that property to get it site ready for redevelopment. But as it turned out, no one was listening to us then, and but for Jimmy Wilson, our state representative, I'm not so sure they would be listening to us right now, because as a result of our resolution, State Representative Jimmy Wilson did introduce House Bill 5242 in the week of December 9th, also requesting that the House Appropriations Committee claw back, cancel, revoke that $100 million. And that's when the great spin machine went into overdrive in Ann Arbor in regards to what this could possibly do if that clawback takes place. Now, keep in mind, at the time they got the $100 million, it was going to go to the corner of Bridge and Textile. 6 months later, well, we'll go over to the 144 acres. Now, they've issued a press release in response to the $100 million appropriation cancellation request by State Rep. Wilson, in which they're saying this now. They're saying, the university is evaluating two potential sites in Ypsilanti Township and, quote, other potential sites in Southeast Michigan. The final site location which has not been determined, will be a joint decision between U of M and the Los Alamos National Laboratory. So now they're saying, well, we are looking at other sites outside of the township, somewhere in southeast Michigan. We can't tell you where. We're not going to tell you where. But if and when that time comes that decision is made, you're not going to be involved in that decision. That's going to be a decision made solely by U of M and Los Alamos. Even though you have your hand out for a $100 million check, you have absolutely no right, Michigan, MEDC, Township Board, anybody else, to have a say-so as to where you should go. Then we get another letter this week, not to mention additional different comments and maybe even comments that could be considered as being warnings or threats even. We now get a letter from the president of the university, dated December 12th, saying as follows. This is addressed to Congresswoman Dingell. We also want to directly address the concern that the university has not met with township officials. Beginning in November 2024 and over the past year, representatives from U of M have held numerous meetings and briefings with the township supervisor, trustees, and legal counsel. These discussions have included project updates, environmental considerations, and the township's stated preference for the American Center for Mobility. Now, when you stop there for a second, when someone says in a letter on their letterhead that over the past year they have held, these are these words, numerous meetings and briefings with the township supervisor, trustees, and legal counsel, I had to say to myself, where was I at? Where was I? I was at one meeting in July this past year where we for the first time learned, number one, that they had been negotiating with ACM for the previous 18 months only to fail in their so-called negotiations to locate a site on property that was designated for this type of industry. Number two, during that meeting, it was clear to us that they were moving towards the Bridge Road site, and it wasn't until, I think, at the very end of the meeting when after all of us were stunned and we said, wait, you can't just go over there. You have to go back and go to ACM. You should have taken us with you. We could have helped you find a pathway to make this work. That's when they gave us the notion, okay, we'll think about it. It took four or five letters for them to finally say, no, we don't need your assistance. There were no meetings. But that one meeting in July, there was no numerous meetings. The second meeting, if you can call it a meeting, was 2 days before Thanksgiving when we were invited to participate in a Zoom meeting, or so we thought. Full-time officials, Grant Trigger, myself, we finally figure out how to do the Zoom connection, and we're sitting there, we're looking at them, they're looking at us, and we're saying, we're here. They're saying, well, it's 2 days before Thanksgiving. What do you want? We're saying, well, we thought you had a meeting for an update. We have no updates. Why are we here? Don't know. You guys called the meeting. That's the kind of surreal events that have actually taken place. That's it. There's been no other conversations. There's been no other meetings. You've seen every letter that's come your way. In terms of anything that's happened that I come across, anything that I've even tried to engage, has been met with stonewall, has been met with just basically no cooperation. They should not be allowed to use the word transparency, but yet, ironically, they do have a region who found the time this past week to come out and say that He urges accountability and transparency, but only in the context of doing an investigation surrounding the firing of disgraced former head coach, football coach Sherrill Moore, and they hired an outside firm from Chicago to do an investigation. Now, you can't get accountability or transparency in regards to making a land use decision that's going to impact this township for the next 50 years. You can't get accountability or transparency as to where you're going to go. You can't get accountability and transparency as to why you went to Ann Arbor Spark as opposed to this township board for the support to actually ask for the $100 million. You can't get accountability and transparency on anything to do with these computational or data centers. But the minute it involves the University of Michigan football program, then we got regions stumbling all over themselves demanding accountability and transparency. It tells you where the priorities are. It's not on this township board. Now, during this past week, I've had some conversations also with some people who have not really thought this through, in my opinion, very well, in regards to somehow that if this $100 million was clawed back, that somehow that would have a negative impact upon unions that would be doing the work. It's simply not the case. I'll tell you why. Number one, we're asking that this project not be built on Bridge Textile Road, but it be built on the property owned by the state of Michigan, leased to ACM, which is over 300 acres and was home to the former General Motors Industrial Corporation. That's what we're asking. But make no mistake, in regards to this township's history, and again, I started out by mentioning some of the history over the years, there's not a single township, city, municipality, county in this state that has a labor record that can come close to rivaling that of this township board. Why do I say that? I'll give you a few reasons why. And I know the trustee Rowe was on the township board in capacity as clerk and supervisor, as well as Supervisor Stumble as clerk and Stan as well as treasurer and trustee. That some of these happened during their tenure on the township board. But 1970, Ypsilanti Township has on the books back then and still does today an ordinance that was unique at the time and probably still is. We were the first township that actually adopted a township version of the Davis-Bacon Act. So what is the Davis-Bacon Act? It's an act that requires at the federal level that anyone that does work on township property has to pay their workers the prevailing wage and fringe benefits. And that was adopted back in the 1974. And so in regards to that specific Davis-Bacon Act, which is still on the books, keep in mind, when I first came to this township in the 1980s, one of the first things I was involved in was suing a contractor who was doing work on the community center, who was keeping, which was not uncommon at the time, two sets of books. One that he was showing us that he was in compliance, one that was showing that what he was really paying his workers. We only found out when the disgruntled workers showed us what they were really receiving. We called the FBI, investigation went underway, prosecution followed, lawsuit followed. In addition to that, Ypsilanti Township was the first township in Washtenaw County that adopted the living wage ordinance. That was brought to the township board by the late Fred Weigel. And I know many of you on this board knew Fred Weigel very well, and some of you in the audience still knew Fred Weigel. We were the first ones that adopted the countywide, at their request, a living wage ordinance that pays those individuals who work for vendors or contractors that do business with the township a living wage. Ypsilanti Township was the first township in this state that granted, at that time I believe it was General Motors, an Act 198 tax abatement that granted them significant tax reductions for investing in personal and real property in exchange for creating and preserving thousands of jobs. As unfortunately, as time went on and those tax abatements continued to be granted, there came a time when General Motors reneged on that agreement. The township board sued General Motors, and then while we were successful in the circuit court, not so successful in the Supreme Court, but it did result in the Michigan legislature changing the law governing tax abatements that now allows townships who grant those abatements to include clawback provisions in those agreements. In addition to that, this township owns a significant amount of property of itself. We actually donated all that property where the district library is currently located. In exchange for that property being conveyed to this district library, we required they enter into what was called, or is called, a CUB agreement, a community unity board agreement, which even though the contractor may have been a non-union contractor, by signing a CUB agreement, he became a union contractor for that duration of their project, and the township has used CUB agreements over and over the years. So there's no mistake in regards to what the township's intent is in regards to the $100 million request for a clawback. We're not being included. We're being excluded. We're not seeing transparency. We're seeing shrouded secrecy, non-disclosure agreements. We're seeing all these roadblocks put in our way. We're seeing the public spin from the PR departments coming out of the University of Michigan saying, well, we've met with you guys numerous times. Not true. And they're now saying, well, we'll make a final decision because we don't know where we're going to go. When it does come time for that decision to be made, even though we'll take your money, you're not part of that decision-making process because normally communities are not involved in a private real estate transaction. This is anything but a private real estate transaction. This is a transaction that involves property owned by the state of Michigan that makes it public. We're the host community. We have every right and should be at the table on any decision-making process in regards to where this data centers are going to be located. So at this point in time, do not be misled by any of these PR spins. The township continues to update all of you in a very forthright position. I wish we did have these numerous project updates and environmental considerations, especially given the fact that the property on Bridge Road, where they want to go with a substation, and they're going to build a brand new substation over there. It's going to result in the disturbance of the habitat that lives there for centuries, as well as the wooded species that's been there, as well as the closeness to the proximity to the Heron River, not to mention the fact that it's also near a hydro power station, not to also mention that Los Alamos, by virtue of the type of work that they do perform, is also considered to be a high-value target, and it should be in an area where it's more protected than being here on the banks of the Heron River by our power station. So I just want to take a moment to, number one, again, thank the board for their support this year and working with all of you. I really do respect all of you on the board. I try my best to keep you fully engaged and updated. At the same time, don't give up the fight in regards to these issues, because every comments that I've read, everything that I've heard, everything I continue to read from other people outside the area, 1,000% support the township in its quest to at least make sure that these data centers, if they're going to be built, are not built on the corner of Bridge and Textile Road, and not have an ugly substation being in one of the major arteries coming into our township. So that will conclude my report for this evening, for 2016. And if you have any questions, I'll try and answer those at some point in time now or later on in the meeting.
Questions or comments? We did meet with DTE.
Yes, we did.
In the last 2 weeks as well, to garner understanding.
Well, the meeting seemed to focus a lot on what was going on in Saline as well as what's going on with the hyper data centers right now. I'm not sure I have any more to add beyond the fact that obviously DTE is a major, they're like the Wizard of Oz. They're the person standing behind the curtain, pulling all the levers, opening the curtains. And there's a lot of power. The power grid is going to be expanded. I'm not sure how this is going to look in the years ahead, but we did have a meeting with them. But again, the people that really should be in the room should be the University of Michigan and Los Alamos and people from Lansing. That's who should be in the room.
ACM.
ACM.
And ACM. Okay. Kirk Swanson.
So I guess I just had to double check my understanding of numerous because I have been in three meetings, and numerous, according to the dictionary, says great in number, many, so I don't know that I would consider three that. And those three meetings were one where they announced that they were going to put a substation on the corner of Bridge and Textile in surprise to us. And then the second one was the one that we were all in a group where they brought some fake design boards where they were showing, oh, well, it could be this, or maybe it would look like this. There was no designs. Our planner was asking specific questions about things that they couldn't answer. That's also where they made the announcement that they'd been working with ACM for 18 months, to also our surprise, because we didn't know that. And then the last one was exactly as Attorney Winters described, a Zoom call where we were literally sitting there waiting for an update, and they said, which is always the comment, their comment for updates are, there are no updates, we're still working on it. I don't know if I consider that an update. And then maybe we could get to numerous if we count our attempts to go places to seek information, like the poster board session they held in Ann Arbor instead of Ypsilanti Township, where Supervisor Stumbo was actually at the poster board where they were talking about utilities, and she was making corrections to what the spokesperson was saying at the poster that had to do with utilities. And or maybe we could also add the municipal update that we attended. This has nothing to do with data centers, but we went to a municipal update that they had at U of M where there were lots of municipalities and other representatives.
The community.
Governmental. Maybe it was governmental relations at that meeting, where Krista Kolb made jokes about, oh, Supervisor Stumbo's here, because we were a little late trying to figure out how to get to the place. And so it was in progress when we got there. He made a joke about Supervisor Stumbo, oh, I'm just going to be getting to what you'll be interested in, which is data centers. Again, thinking it was funny. And then also at that same time as he's talking about it, made fun of the fact that data center protesters showed up at his house. Oh, it's so funny, bring it on. When it's not funny, me actually said, it's not funny. It's not funny. It's not a joke. We're not laughing. The Yucca board members, where they showed up, were not laughing. Were they scared children at people's houses? So nothing's funny about it. So if this is what their president calls numerous attempts to interact with us, I just vehemently disagree. Three. And these other attempts that were there, and there's no update. The Zoom call also said, when we were wondering about, at one point there was a statement that was, we don't even talk to Ann Arbor when we're going to do a real estate purchase. And so this is the way they treat us. They're not updates. We're angry with you because you're just not going to let us do what we want to do. So it's very disappointing that I was not in any meetings. I don't think any of us have been in meetings with a university president. So whatever he's hearing and whatever he's saying is all hearsay. Can't be accurate because he was not in any of the meetings that I was in. So it just continues to be disappointing that they try to push this on our community, and we are trying to make it work. You can't do exclusionary zoning. We're trying to find a way to make this work that can be good for our community, and they do not take us seriously. They don't care about us. They are willing to do what they want to do, and that's the way it is. So it's just disappointing. We will continue to work hard to try to take care of things, but at this point, the university is digging in and just really, it's just disrespectful.
I would just want to say, you mentioned several of the meetings, and I can get the dates and the times of it, and there has been numerous emails, I do know that. As far as meetings and getting information, the last meeting we had in November, I was right after the meeting we had at Ann Arbor, where he thought it was funny that people came to our houses and affected our family, and it didn't bother him. But I followed that up with the email asking for a meeting and an update on where we at with negotiations with ACM, where are we at with this data center on the banks of the Huron River. So we have a meeting, I thought, oh my goodness, they're going to tell us. It's do or die. They're going to say, we're going on textile, we don't care what you, the board, the community thinks. That's not what they said. They sat there and said nothing. And we were on Zoom, which is even worse. So they're sitting there like this, just silent. We were looking at...
Chris called him.
Yeah, Chris called Michael Rain and an engineer. And it was just... I have never again... I'm experiencing a lot of negative things professionally with the University of Michigan. And so we're all looking at each other, and we start asking, just firing questions. Because we thought they were going to provide an update, so we have to ask the questions to get an update. And it was pretty painstaking. Then we got a little into it because they weren't saying much. We have no update. We have no, they're ongoing. We can't discuss that. That was the update. And at one time, I believe it was Michael Rain said that, wait a minute, we're being out-lawyered here. I'm like, right? Was that the exact words?
Outgunned or something.
They were at a disadvantage.
They were at a disadvantage because we were asking these questions. But I don't know. They have a lot of money. They have a large on staff, and they hire companies to spin things they want to spin. And if they think they say it enough times, it's true, but it's not true. And we know the truth. We have been trying to work with them. The first meeting by Zoom that we had was before they announced the $100 million. Representative Wilson was there, and so was I on the call, and they said 20 acres at Bridge and Textile, 200 employees on site, $200,000 salaries. Well, that sounds, and that's what I told the board. That was never true. It was never their intentions to do that. Then in June, I think it was, before they vote on it at U of M, Michael Rain called me and said, well, I just want you to know that U of M Board of Regents are going to be voting on an option to purchase 120 acres of wooded land. He didn't say wooded. 120 acres next to the 20 acres, which was the original proposal. And after that, I mean, the gloves came out. We didn't trust them. I said, Michael, that is wooded acres. What are you guys doing? And then we learned about data centers. So all of this is, it has not gone well. I don't think it's gone well at the state level. I don't think they took their time to roll out these economic plans for growing the state of Michigan economically, which economics is jobs. And you do have building, well, U of M will have building trades jobs wherever they're at. And, but as far as people at the facility, I don't know. It's not 200 at the facility, which is what they told us. My guess is going to be similar in other data centers, but I can't speak to it because I'm not at the table and I don't have the information. I just think from the very beginning, my guess, it's purely a guess, the Republicans won the House, so they rushed legislation through in December. And that's when all of this data information came out. The 6% waiver of the sales tax. Like, and Celine, I think it's a $7 billion, B with a B, $7 billion investment, and they don't pay sales and use tax. Where does sales and use tax go? Local government and schools. It goes into state shared revenue. I mean, I don't know. I wish they would have been more inclusive. Data centers are here, and I know people don't like to hear that. I don't like the mega ones, but what do I know? It seems like there'd be a better way to plan them so there's not so much drain on energy throughout the state of Michigan, and really, from a planning standpoint, have them in the areas where the auto factories folded, which is why DTE has excess capacity, because there's so many plants that closed. So, I mean, and I guess maybe they weren't thinking of it from a community planning standpoint. It would make more sense to do that. Instead of farmlands and the banks of the Huron River, wooded areas. But everyone's mad at us, I think. So, they're just are. I don't think the state's too happy. They're very angry with State Representative Wilson as well to claw back the $100 million, or what's another term?
Cancel, revoke.
You have to use all the terms in order to make it count. It doesn't go to the legislator. It goes to this committee.
Appropriations.
And the House. And then if the House votes for it, then it goes to the Senate Appropriations Committee to claw it back. It doesn't go to the governor.
Correct.
So it's not like legislation as laws. It's just a clawback, or whatever word you want to use, of the money, of the $100 million. But right now, the $100 million is for 20 acres on textile and bridge. For 200 jobs at $200,000. But they're not there, and they have many years to get the 200 jobs, too, which is part of the applications, which we didn't see. Ann Arbor Spark wrote a letter in support of it, and I just think it was rushed, and that's why all of this is happening and playing out in the public, because the public didn't know either. The legislators could have told us as well. And it was happened so quickly, no one really shared the information. And in my opinion, U of M has tentacles that go so far, the federal, state, county, local, that they can pretty much make whatever happen they want. And I told someone, it's as they're the kings and the queens, and we're the peasants, and how they treat us as residents, as people. And I've never been treated that way. And our community doesn't deserve to be treated that way. They deserve better. So we did have more meetings. There are not many more, but I can write them down and provide a report. But what am I going to do, you know? We don't even have a media team to respond to them. But the truth will stand. And they can spin it and weave their tangled web as much as they want. But we know the truth. We know we were there. We were at the meetings. We know what happened. And nothing happened. And it started with a lie. On 20 acres, 200 jobs on site, $200,000 jobs. And that was the very first conversation I had with them. And I think it was in November of 2024. Before they announced it, they had to tell us. And that's the first time I was made aware of it. So I just, we met twice with DTE. The Michigan Daily came out, we met with them. Did they do another one this week?
Yeah, like 7-9.
Okay, I mean.
It's really good.
Okay.
She did a great job.
I mean, other than the Michigan Daily, no one really would report on it because, again, everyone's so connected, and it's sad. But I do think Detroit News now, since State Representative Wilson and Republicans and Democrats both have introduced this clawback of the $100 million, and this all could have been avoided. If we'd have known what they were doing 18 months ago, prior to November, to our meeting in June or July, 18 months ago, they met with ACM for 18 months trying to make it go to ACM. But they never included the township. I sit on the ACM board. I sit on the Spark board. I'm going to resign. But they call it Project L or X. And Karen, when you were supervisor, they do this. They did it a lot. You didn't know, but you knew it was a company that manufactured something. You can't announce it until they make a site selection. But other than that...
It's so different.
Go ahead.
I just say it's so different to me, ethically, morally, and just even business-wise. They're not private companies. Like the
right.
Ones they used to do before.
Right.
And you're using tax. So you go into this taxpayer owner driven. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's a nonprofit. And then we take $100 million of all of our tax dollars. It's not the same as, to me, you're trying to get a private company to come here so you offer them incentives or you know that's not going anywhere. You know, and not only that, if it was such a great deal, which the one little article at the beginning, around July, we all found out acres. If it's such a great deal and the strategic fund decided, oh yeah, this is great, then you should be able to stand up and say why it is that it's a great to take our tax dollars, $100 million of them and give it to them. Like, well, we're going to benefit from it. But everything's just kind of, all of a sudden, the church is better. All these different things are just rolling out. It's just like, it's embarrassing. I'm ashamed for what's happening in our state. You know, I never felt that way. And so that's happening even at the highest level of executive office for our state. I would never, ever thought that people would do. I would stood up and voted for some people and defended them. But this latest thing that's going on with these data centers, I know there's a lot of money, but it's crazy. Like, there was articles in some paper about they've given an $800,000 campaign. Did you see that article?
Yeah.
$800,000 to people's campaigns, and it's all, and it's someone's husband works for them. It's like something from a movie or something. And so what they're just doing to us is like, we just little please on their nerves. You know, we're just on their nerves is all that is. This is a whole bigger whatever that's going on with these federal dollars or defense contractors or whatever, but to me, it's like, you're giving up $1 million, and you're not going to be able to say why it isn't, why it's so wonderful about our state. No one ever, when we take tax abatements, we were proud of it.
It's public.
Go for them, and it's public, and you're proud because it's bringing in union jobs, it's bringing in, you know, whatever.
Right.
When you're giving $100 million away, it's a lot more, you know, money than we ever go back and give anybody on a tax abatement.
When the state did it for the American Center for Mobility,
yeah,
we were involved. And that was $100
million. Which another thing that makes it so crazy is like, the state owns this place. But yeah, you're going to give $100 million to go somewhere else instead of open the place that's kind of stronger than the American Center anyway. Like, not getting made. It makes somewhere from where we're standing. And now this president writes this letter, he says he met with us, the trustee. I mean, are we going to write back to him?
Of course, we just got the letter today.
But I have never in my life met with anybody from over there, so I don't know that.
I would love to meet with him.
I'm going to take that you're being a truthful, honest man, but so whoever's telling you is, you need to double check this, because this is just so, like, out there.
But you can meet and say nothing. Right, and that's what they,
so that's, the same.
That's a whole nother, you know, conversation. It's just a violation of public trust, and for people who receive $100 million in tax dollars and pay no taxes on top of it, it's just, I want to be professional, it's wrong, it's just wrong. So we'll keep fighting. I've been in this fight, the whole board has been in this fight, but it has consumed my day-to-day activity, trying to gather more information from different people and set up meetings with other people, we were asking for help to move it to ACM. We've adopted resolutions at the board level. We've done everything that we can do as a local government. So proposal of the $100 million clawback was a resolution that we supported as well. So we're doing everything that we can at the local level. And there's just, Celine kind of took over us too, don't you think? I mean, Celine jumped ahead because they're in the paper more and, you know, went around the public service.
They're like 1,000 acres, right?
1,000 acres, yeah. No water and sewer there either, so. It's crazy from a planning standpoint, but they're always in the light, and then you can see now on TV other communities that have it, and they don't even mention the University of Michigan and Ipsy Township and what's happening here. It's never, ever mentioned. Yeah. Howell.
One up north.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, there's all, but they never mention ours, and we were the first.
I just want to ask why. I mean, I hear all of these articles or segments about different places. I'm like, why haven't we heard about us? You know, why haven't Ypsilanti Township received any attention? The same that Celine and now Southfield and Howell. You know, it's kind of mind-boggling.
Well, the University of Michigan doesn't have to file a site plan. They don't have to come to Ipsy Township for any approvals whatsoever.
So,
and all the other ones do.
So that could be one of the parts of the news article that Ypsilanti, you know, would explain that we're being bullied by U of M, which doesn't have to do anything. You know, to me, the negative press would not serve them well. I think.
I do not think they care.
Okay.
And there is no negative press because there's no press other than the Michigan Daily.
Yeah.
Which came out of their own student organization. They had, I mean, at least 100 employees that came and said, don't trust University of Michigan. I was mortified when I heard these comments. When I called to tell them that, oh, it's just a few. Just a few employees, but I'm guessing that their employees that are not high level, you know, 300,000 or above, are probably treated similar to the way we are and the way our residents are and the way the public is. So I don't know if it'll change. It probably won't. But we're not going to stop fighting. And we'll provide updates. And Doug, your letters, what they haven't acknowledged is the several letters and resolutions that have been sent to them. The president did not recognize that. So if people would just go back and read the very beginning where we said, we understand you're coming here, we just don't want you to go on that land, we want you to go to ACM. I don't think that's too much to request, but yet again, it's never in the newspaper, and even the president didn't even acknowledge it, who's the interim president, by the way. But, all right, let's get on with the agenda. Under old business, we have the second reading of Resolution 2025-30, Proposed Ordinance 2025-13, an ordinance to amend Appendix A, Zoning Township Zoning Ordinance of Ypsilanti Charter Township, and modify the district that lists data centers as a permitted or special land use in the township. The first reading was held at the December 2nd regular meeting and was published on December 11th, 2022 in the Detroit Legal?
So Washtenaw Legal is now Detroit Legal.
Clerk Swanson?
All right, Resolution 2025-30 in reference to Ordinance 2025-513, Zoning Ordinance Text Amendment regarding data center definitions and locations. The following resolution was offered by the Charter Township of Ypsilanti Planning Department and supported by the Charter Township of Ypsilanti Planning Commission. Whereas data centers are a relatively new land use that house computer servers and other technology in large buildings served by electrical support facilities such as substations, generators, and batteries, and that consume large amounts of electricity and water. And whereas in studying data centers as a potential land use in the township, it has become evident that the data centers are similar to an industrial use in relation to their size and potential external effects such as noise, electrical power consumption, and water consumption. And whereas the township is committed to locating data centers in areas with appropriate infrastructure and minimal impact on surrounding properties and minimizing adverse effects on residents and adjacent communities, including managing noise from mechanical equipment and generators. And whereas the ordinance amendment is consistent with the intent of the ICR, Industrial and Commercial Revitalization District, the NB, Neighborhood Corridors Form-Based Code Zoning District, the RC, Regional Corridors Form-Based Code Zoning District, and the TC, Town Center Form-Based Code Zoning District, as well as the Township's current master plan. And whereas at its regularly scheduled meeting held November 10th, 2025, the Charter Township of Ypsilanti Planning Commission held a public hearing, discussed the proposed text amendments, and recommended that the Township Board approve the ordinance amendment as presented. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Charter Township of Ypsilanti Board hereby adopts and incorporates by reference ordinance number 2025-513 attached hereto by reference in its entirety. So moved.
Support.
Motion Swanson, support Aldridge. Is there a discussion on this?
I just had a question.
Yes, trustee.
I wasn't here at the last reading
or the first reading, but so it's just they're going to go in the ICR district only, right? And then it has to. It's a special conditional. Did I understand that, or just come to the board special land?
Yeah.
Call it.
It says it's a special land use, Ms. Mark.
Yes, special land use. All right, that's all I might.
So that means it comes to the township board as well.
Mm.
Did I?
Yeah. Thank you.
All right.
Roll call.
Are there any public comments? I didn't know if this would be the right time to do it. Data centers were allowed in the township, but they weren't what are now the data centers, as large as they are and heavy industrial use as they are. So they were in our ordinance already. It wouldn't apply to University of Michigan because they don't have to adhere to zoning ordinances. They're exempt. But this, like Trustee Rowe said, it puts it in over to the district where the General Motors, the former General Motors plant, was actually demolished in that area. So, if you'd like to go to the microphone.
Regina Kudla, resident, and I wonder if we need, is it possible that we would need to have other definitions other than just data centers? Because what if they just decide to call it something else? I mean, it's the same thing, but then, you know, then they say, oh, well, this isn't a data center, it's a blah, blah, blah. And so your article says data centers, and it doesn't apply because now it's something else.
Yeah, there was other changes that had additional definitions in the ordinance.
Right.
And Mark, maybe you could speak to that. To try to address it.
Yeah. My name is Mark Andrick. I'm the planning director here at the township. So the definition in the ordinance is for data center or computing center. It could be interchangeable. Any proposal that comes forward, we have the, at a staff level, we have to determine what the use is and what it classifies as. So even if they might call it some crazy thing we haven't heard of before, if it operates like a data center or computing center, that's how it would be classified. And we did... with a similar definition, we did want to define it that data centers was not a technology center, you know, that was something completely different, and we just wanted to protect the township's interests long term.
So it's like descriptive as far as what they look like, sound like, what they...
What was the question, Mark?
The question is it descriptive? And really what it is what is actually being done, and I apologize, I don't have the wording in front of me right now, but the definition really gives the township leverage about what a data center really is, and obviously they're much larger than they were years ago.
Yeah, the definition says, do you want me to read it, or you want a copy of it? Yeah, they made it more, and we might even have to look at more ordinances to see if there's other ways to make sure what happened here to us doesn't ever happen again in the future, because this was so new, and it's taken the whole country by surprise. It's not just us. It's the whole country that's going through this, and the federal government is supporting it, and the state government is supporting it, and that really makes it hard when they're aligned like that. So, and I do want to say also before... I spoke with Congresswoman Dingell today, and she did ask, and in that letter you will see, she had asked for a public meeting, which we have been asking for, not in Ann Arbor, we want it in Ipsy Township, or Washoe Community College, something that can accommodate. And she wrote, and she verbally said to me sometime in January, and I said, well, when? You know, make sure we coordinate with us, the local government, and the residents, so that we can keep everyone informed. So look forward to a community meeting sometime in January, and as soon as we know, we will let everyone know, and if we have time, we'll do a mailing, you know, whatever it takes to let the public know that there is this meeting. Thank you. We have to do a roll call vote because it's a ordinance, which is a law. Rowe?
Yes.
Newman?
Yes.
Peterson?
Yes.
Swanson?
Yes.
Stumble vote yes. Eldridge?
Yes.
Thornton?
Yes.
The second reading is approved. Under new business, we have approved resolution 2025-43, which is authorizing the Township of Ypsilanti to sell to purchaser UPH, which is Culver's. Did I skip some?
No.
Okay. Ypsilanti Property LLC, a vacant parcel. Clerk Swanson? No. Oh. You want to read the... Clerk Swanson?
Resolution 25-43, authorizing the Charter Township of Ypsilanti to sell to purchaser UPH Ypsilanti Property, LLC, a vacant parcel comprising 0.26 acres located in the Seaver Farm property, which will be combined with 1.74 acres located at 1400 South Huron Street. Whereas the Charter Township of Ypsilanti holds title to a vacant parcel comprising 0.26 acres located in the Seaver Farm property, the legal description of which is as follows. Land in the Township of Ypsilanti, Washtenaw County, Michigan, described as follows. Commencing at the intersection of the southerly right-of-way of Joe Hall Drive and the westerly right-of-way of Huron Street, thence south 05 degrees 00 minutes 31 seconds west 22.98 feet and south 72 degrees 24 minutes, 21 seconds west, 411.62 feet to the point of beginning, thence south 05 degrees, 00 minutes, 10 seconds west, 120.14 feet, thence north 84 degrees, 59 minutes, 50 seconds west, 120 feet, thence north 05 degrees, 00 minutes, 10 seconds west, 70.19 feet, thence north, 72 degrees, 24 minutes, 21 seconds east, 129.98 feet to the point of beginning, containing 0.26 acres, and whereas in October of 2025, UPH Ypsilanti Property LLC, hereinafter referred to as UPH, requested of the Ypsilanti Township Assessing Department to purchase the vacant lot as described above, which they intend to combine with their property located at 1400 South Huron Street, which consists of 1.7 acres, a copy of said aerial depicting both parcels being here attached hereto, and whereas at a regular board meeting held on December 16th, 2025, the Ypsilanti Board of Trustees authorized the sale of the 0.26 acre vacant lot to purchaser UPH, which according to the market valuation report prepared by Deputy Assessor Brian McCleary, after receiving the certified survey from the purchaser on November 5th, 2025, was valued at $50,000. And whereas on the 9th of December 2025, purchaser UPH by and through its member Charles Paisley signed the proposed purchase agreement, a copy of which is attached hereto and incorporated by reference, in which they will remit to the township the sum of $50,000 in accordance with the market valuation report. Now, therefore, the Ypsilanti Charter Township Board of Trustees hereby resolves as follows. Number one, that the Township Board accepts the purchase offer submitted hereto and authorizes the execution of purchase agreement by Supervisor Brenda L. Stumbo and Clerk Deborah A. Swanson. Number two, that the Township authorizes Supervisor Stumbo and Clerk Swanson to execute all documents required by Sislo Title to effectuate the transfer of the 0.26 acre parcel to purchaser UPH once a closing date has been scheduled. Number three, that a certified copy of this resolution be forwarded to Sislo Title as set forth in paragraph 23 of the purchase agreement. I would so move.
Motion Eldridge.
Support. Go ahead.
Support Thornton. Questions or comments? Mr. Winters, did you?
Just as a side note, back when Charles Paisley and Culver's purchased the 3.74 acres, that took the property line down to where the Joe Hall Drive is adjacent to. At that time, 2 acres. Was required to be set aside for Culver's under the form-based zoning requirements. The 1.74, in order to be developed, needed the additional 0.26. So Brian McCleary, along with the full-time officials, the development team, we all met, and the 0.26 is shown on the aerial map as to what that where it's located. That will then be combined, and in turn will then be sold by Mr. Paisley to a credit union that will be located next to the Culver's. So you'll have the Aldi's, Culver's, and a credit union on that on the entire frontage there on Whitaker Road, South Huron Road. And that completes that, the frontage. And of course, we have the remaining 4 acres behind there to the west that's available. And of course, the 24 acres is still undeveloped to the south of Brinker Way. So it's great to see that accomplished during this past year. And I do know that Culver's opened their store in Novi last week. And according to their team, they're starting, they're going to proceed full blast here as the weather allows them with the Culver's being constructed in the next 4 to 6 months.
Thank you. Questions or comments? I do think small businesses are the backbone of America, and we're no longer going to have these large manufacturing sites like we used to always depend on. They do create jobs. I think Culver's,
60.
Yeah, 60 jobs, and they're pretty good jobs, and they do hire local. But we're trying to expand our tax base, and this is one way to do it and create jobs. So this compared to the University of Michigan is exact opposite. We have a motion support. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Number two is approved resolution 2025-44, which is 2025 boards and commissions, appointments, and reappointments.
Resolution number 2025-44.
Reappointment to the Planning Commission, Becky Alisade, expiration date 12/31/2028. Zoning Board of Appeals, Stan Eldridge, term expiring 11/20/28. David Marshall, term expiring 12/31/2028. Appointments, Joint Airport Zoning Board, Brenda Stumbo, term expiring 11/20/28. Mark Yandrick, term expiring 12/31/28. Ypsilanti Community Utilities Authority, Brenda Stumbo, term expiring 11/20/28. So moved.
Motion Swanson.
Support.
Support Rowe. Questions or comments? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Number three is approved litigation to abate public nuisance 61 at 6109 South Ivanhoe if necessary.
So moved.
Motion Eldridge, support Rowe, is that correct? The information's in the packet, and if it's necessary to do so. These come to us through residents in the neighborhood, and this is one of two that's on the agenda. Questions or comments? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Number four is approved litigation to abate public nuisance at 2150 Wooddale Avenue if necessary.
So moved.
Motion Eldridge. Support Rowe. Thank you. Questions or comments? And we do try to work it out. Circuit court is always our last choice, but we meet with the owners again after we've met with them several times through the ordinance department. So this is the last opportunity before circuit court. We have a motion support. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. The next item is to approve the revised credit card policy.
So moved.
Motion Eldridge?
Support
Thornton? Discussion? Mr. Eldridge?
There's also a red line copy in your packet. You can see what we changed and didn't change. We had done this, I think, back in the summer on the old policy, but with our switch over in banking and some of the other things we're doing with credit cards to Huntington Bank, we thought it was a good time to look at it again and clean anything up. And so we had an internal group that looked at it and made the corrections you'll see on the red line copy to bring it more up to date and current with the times, and think it addresses everything, although we made a couple changes today that were found, and we were happy to make those. And so if anybody finds anything else, we'd be happy to look at it. But the way it is, we think we've now encompassed and included everything that needs to be done in our credit card policy.
Other questions and comments? As we have read in the paper and other communities, it's important that we watch credit card use of taxpayers' money, and this tightens it even more than it was before. We have a motion support. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Number six is to approve additional items to add to the sale and or removal of excess township equipment.
So moved, Peterson.
Motion Peterson.
Support.
Support Newman. Questions or comments? They just added a few more items, and it's required that we come back to the Township Board when we're selling Township property. Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Budget Amendment Number 16. Trustee Clerk Swanson.
Motion to amend the 2025 budget, number 16. Move to increase the general fund budget by $12,648 to $21,351,109 and approve the department line item changes as outlined. So moved.
Support Peterson.
Motion Swanson. Support Peterson. Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Under authorization and bids, we have sealed bids for 14B District Court Furniture.
So moved, Peterson.
Motion, Peterson.
Support.
Support, Aldridge. This will come back to the Township Board. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Are there any public comments at this time?
Sure, Tad Weiser from North Miami. Just wanted to speak for a minute about, appreciate the all the comments about the, which is insulting behavior, it feels like, by the University of Michigan to our township here. And it's not all over. Who knows what else is going to be happening. There's not a consensus among in the local labor movement at this point about, in general, how to deal with the bigger issue of data centers, but there are conversations that have clearly begun, and particularly looking at how public money, is taking a step back and saying, really, is this the best way to create lots more good long-term jobs by this circuitous way of, putting money into a new facility that nobody really wants. So don't know where that's going to go, but just wanted y'all to know that there's going to be, Trustee Lovejoy Rowe had mentioned that we feel like fleas sometime, but I think this has inspired a lot of fleas to begin paying attention, and we'll see where this goes with Representative Wilson's legislation and that kind of thing. But I think every step of the way, it's bringing more people paying attention to just what does good government look like, and how do we collectively, not just have to roll over when things like this happen, and send a signal that just because it's a very large university with a large federal government and some state government support, it's not done until it's done, and regular people do, still in this country have a say. So thank you all for your continued support there, and you're not alone.
Thank you, Tad. Any other comments? Are there any board members' comments? I just want to announce that Ralph Walls passed away this morning, and he was a Yucca retiree. He was a Planning Commission member, longtime township resident, and friend to many of us. So I just wanted people to know that happened today. Motion to adjourn would be in order?
So moved.
Eldridge?
Support.
Peterson? The meeting is adjourned at 7:16. Oh, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Meeting adjourned.